Bibles, I would invite you to turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 11. Luke's Gospel, chapter 11. I'm thankful to the Lord for being a little better this week than previous. Even though I thought I was so good that by the time Awana came on Wednesday, I was appointed to one of the group leaders' positions during game time, and not realizing my age when the activity was called leaders, I pulled a muscle in my leg. So, but that's doing better too. And as someone famously told me, I'm no longer 25. But it's still nice to have fun with the kids. Luke chapter 11. And we'll pick up our account at verse 5. And he, Jesus, said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Lord, we pause once again before you, before your word, and before each other. Thank you for what you've given us from heaven, the word of God, alone, unique. Nothing else that we have is like it. Lord, for your grace to our minds and our thoughts, that we may understand. For our country again, Lord, you hold it in your hand, as well as every other nation on the face of the earth. There is nothing too great or too small for you. And Lord, in the midst of this, continuing on to look to another election this year, we pray for that which is good for our nation. We pray for the will of God to be done. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, for the sake of your church, we as your people through this entire country, for we know you hold the hearts of the kings in your hand and can direct them wherever you want. So, Lord, again, we commit ourselves to you, for you are sovereign. For our needs, Lord, for they are many. You're working in our lives, in the lives of those who we know, going through serious things, going through everyday things, going through challenges and hardships. Lord, for your working, please. For hearts to be encouraged. Lord, if bodies may be healed by your grace, if it will go to your glory, we pray for that. Lord, you hold the number of days of our days in your hands. So give us wisdom and teach us that we may walk aright, that we may live for you. Lord, thank you again for your word, for your blessing upon it, for our good, for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the portion that Dr. Luke wanted to include of what Jesus said after sharing with his disciples the disciples' prayer, which we looked at last week, and covered the different areas in which we may easily go to God. I came across something I thought it'd be appropriate to share this week. It's from a 17th century Roman Catholic Frenchman. His name is Francis Fenelon. And he wrote this about prayer. Tell God all that is in your heart, as one unloads one's heart, its pleasures and its pains, to a dear friend. Tell him your troubles, that he may comfort you. Tell him your joys, that he may sober them. Tell him your longings, that he may purify them. Tell him your dislikes, that he may help you to conquer them. Tell him of your temptations, that he may shield you from them. Show him the wounds of your heart, that he may heal them. Lay bare your indifference to good, your depraved taste for evil, your instability. Tell him how self-love makes you unjust to others, how vanity tempts you to be insincere, how pride disguises you to yourself and others. If you thus pour out all your weaknesses, needs, troubles, there will be no lack of what to say. You will never exhaust the subject. It is continually being renewed. People who have no secrets from each other never lack for subject of conversation. They do not weigh their words, for there is nothing to be held back. Neither do they seek for something to say. They talk out of the abundance of their heart. Without consideration, they say just what they think. Blessed are those who attain to such familiar, unreserved intercourse with God. Good thoughts. You're a child of the Lord. You can tell him anything and everything that's in your heart at any time. Good thoughts. So we looked last week at what to pray, and looking at the various areas that Jesus touched in this template of a prayer. So I want us to look this week at what Luke includes as after that as Jesus' words of how to pray. How to pray. And there's two different sections to this. One is verses 5 through 10, in which Jesus gives a story, and then he gives a lesson. And then 11 through 13, it's a different section. This story that he gives has to do with the unexpected. And since most of us like to live our lives according to schedule And according to routine, sometimes we don't welcome the unexpected because we don't expect it. And it could be an intrusion on our plans. But it's the unexpected. Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight with the request to him, "Friend, a friend of mine has just come, and I really don't even have a loaf of bread to share with him." In the culture of the time, hospitality was extremely important. I mean, you can go all the way back to Abraham entertaining three persons who he did not know were the Lord and two angels. And all that he did to provide hospitality, extremely important. So if you have someone come to your house at late at night and you really have nothing to offer them, you're sort of in a bind. And so you go next door to your friend. And that's the story Jesus is telling. At midnight, do you have some bread that I can take because someone's come? I don't even have this, and I want to share with them. And so which of you shall have a friend? But the friend, verse 7, will answer you from within the confines of their house, "Forget about it." Do you know what time it is? At midnight, Jesus said. We're settled in here. And in the culture of the time, on our grand imperial bed, it's my wife and I and all of our kids together. That's what he said. My children are with me. So we're all here. We're snuggled and nestled in. So just no thanks. And yet, what does Jesus say? Verse 8. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him, because he is his friend. See, he's still a friend. Still a friend. This is a friend. He will not rise and give to him because he's a friend. But he will because of his persistence. How to pray. The unexpected happens. You go to a friend. The story. And then the lesson. And the lesson is, do not stop asking. Because of his persistence. And so Jesus gives the lesson of the story in verses 9 and 10. So I say to you, ask, seek, knock. For the one who asks, and in the proper verb form of the Greek language, it is a continuing on. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. For the one who keeps asking and seeking and knocking, A-S-K. Ask, seek, knock. The one who keeps us up because of his persistence, Jesus said, he will give him, verse 8 at the end, as many as he needs. He will answer. How often do you find yourself praying the same thing to the Lord that you've prayed before? Does God get tired of hearing the same request over and over again? Not according to what Jesus says. It's because of that very thing. Do you have a loved one? Do you have a situation? Maybe it's gone on for a long time. A long time. And it's the same thing back from your heart. Lord, I pray for. And it's over and over again. And there would be those who'd say, well, you don't have faith. Because if you just believe God and you pray it and ask him once or twice, you're not getting the answer because you don't have faith. Because if you believed, when you asked, you would just simply receive it. And Jesus' commentary here says, that's not the case. There are some things in which we do not stop asking for. And the reason we do not stop asking is because we're going to a friend, but the point of going for the friend is just, what's my desire? I have something or someone I'm asking for as a need or a need in their life. Do I really desire that? If I don't desire, I'll just give up after a while. Oh, well. God, your will be done. That's it. But here, it is Jesus saying, well, don't stop. By his persistence, don't stop. The whimsical story is told, one of those, swami or guru on a mountaintop or a retreat somewhere, and the disciple wannabe makes the journey to them. And, master, show me how to get in touch with God. And the master leads him outside to a watering trough and says, look down in here. So he looks down in, and without knowing, he just grabs him by the head and the neck and shoves him into the water and holds him there. And the guy starts thrashing, and he holds him there. And then he brings him up the last minute. He said, well, what did you do that for? When did you desire air? And he said, when you want to find God with the desire that is equivalent to wanting air, you'll find him. Because if you don't desire, you're just playing around. To those who ask and seek and knock. So it's not, I have a checklist, how many times have I prayed this prayer? It is, how badly do I desire? How badly do I desire? And how badly will I continue to desire? And what if God does not? Well, what if God is changing me somehow by my very act of going back to him again and again? It's a friend. What if he's changing me in the process of that prayer that's not being answered yet? It's kind of showing me, do I have a desire for this? A desire or not? Desire. And then he changes it. Oh, by the way, a good, if you want a footnote, Genesis chapter 18. Again, back to Abraham. Nephew Lot is in Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham knows trouble is coming and is talking to God. Lord, what if there's only 50 righteous in that great city? Then I'll spare it. What if there's 45? Okay, I'll spare it. 40, 30, 20. One more time, Lord. 10, if there are 10 righteous. Desire. So Jesus changes from the friend to verses 11 to 13 to the figure of a father. Now, a father. And he appeals to them on that basis. You as fathers, how are you to your children? And gives this odd, if a son asks for bread and gets a rock, fish, and he gets a snake, and an egg, and he gets a scorpion. Now, bread, fish, egg. Nothing exciting there. Staples. Ordinary things. But staples to life. Bread, fish, egg. And the response back to that is, excuse me, a stone, a snake, a scorpion, a stone that when you need bread is absolutely useless. Here, go suck on this rock. That won't do anything. I'd like some bread. Father. Here's a stone. Useless. Here's a snake. This is tricky. Not sure exactly what kind of snake this is. Whether it's the garden variety garter snakes that their one good purpose in life is scaring other people with. Oh, look, it's a snake. Ah! It's a garden snake. Snake, this could be tricky. Scorpion, which you don't play around with, dangerous. What's interesting is in verse 13, Jesus puts in a little phrase showing the nature of humanity from the sight of God. He just puts it right in there. If you, being evil, know how to give. Yeah. By nature, being sinful. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Why, if they'd ask you for bread, you'd give them bread if you had bread. Because if they'd ask you for a fish, you'd give them a piece of fish. If they asked you for an egg, if you had an egg, you'd give them an egg. So this contrast from a father. If you, being evil, know how to do such things for your own children, to take care of them, to provide for their needs. We're not talking anything extravagant here. Bread, fish, and egg. Could be snack time for some. If you know how to do that, and then there's three words, how much more? And Paul picks this up in some of his letters. How much more? So much more. How much more will your heavenly Father. So how can I pray? How can I pray? I can pray as unto a friend. I can pray as unto a father who knows what's good for me and what I need. And Jesus, in a way, doesn't change the subject when he introduces, all of a sudden, he could have said, how much more will your heavenly Father give what you need to you? Because he says that in other places, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things that you need will be added to you. But he doesn't do that. But he's not changing the subject by talking about the Holy Spirit at this point. If you come to your Father and you're talking about the needs of your life, then how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, theologically, doctrinally, according to the Bible, when a person comes in sincere faith, in repentance, turning away from themselves, realizing, hey, I can't be good enough. I'll never be good enough for heaven. I'll never be good enough for eternal life. Being evil by nature, as Jesus would say. Recognizing that and recognizing that's what God took care of on the cross through his Son, Jesus Christ. He took care of my problem. My problem of sinfulness that results in separation from God. God came near in Christ, and he was the closest to us on the cross. So he took care of the problem there. And if I just transfer my trust and my faith into whatever I'm believing, oh, if I just do my best, if I'm just a church person, if I'm just a good person, if I'm just a whatever, and hopefully that'll be good enough. If I transfer my trust to what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross, taking my place, bearing my guilt and shame and penalty and curse, and then rising again from the dead to prove it's all true. If I take Christ, I will be his child. When I am his child, The scripture is clear. At that point, the Holy Spirit of God comes and lives inside a person. Comes and lives in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory, Paul says. The Holy Spirit of God indwelling at that point. Never to leave. So, how can Jesus talk about giving the Holy Spirit? I thought every follower of Jesus Christ has the Holy Spirit in them. He does. She does. Holy Spirit's in their life. Well, then what is Jesus talking about? Well, in the context, he's talking about asking the Father for bread, for fish, for an egg, for things that have to do with need and staples of life. And then he introduces the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Could it be possibly because my greatest need is of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in my life? Not that he's just simply in me, but what does he want to do? So that's one thing we're going to look at in our brief study of spiritual gifts. Because one thing the Holy Spirit does, his focal point is to glorify Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "He shall glorify me." So that's a good filter to look at spiritual gifts through. So, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? In a certain way, in a practical sense, I believe that the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus Christ in the lives of those who belong to him by not just making Christ more precious. It is everything about him that becomes more than enough for everything that we need. Our supply, our breath of life, our reward, our sacrifice. Everything that he gives to us because it's of him becomes more than enough to everything that we need. And so it's almost a prayer of, Father, allow the Holy Spirit to work deeper and more in my life. With all the blessings that come to me through Christ, that are expressions of your goodwill toward me, that will touch me in my life, not just in a spiritual, mysterious way, that will touch me in my life in ways that will make that will affect me in a practical sense, that will change me more to be like Jesus, that will affect me in my heart, in my attitudes, in my thoughts, in my values, in my perspectives, in my dealings with people, in my relationships, in my outlook, all of that. That's intensely practical. In the same way that a piece of bread, a piece of fish, and a hopefully boiled egg would be, as just a very practical thing, that it would be the working, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to make more of the blessings of Jesus Christ in my life in a practical sense. Because with each one of us, I believe that God the Father, through the work of his Spirit, has a unique, custom fit series of blessings that he wants to enrich our life through his Son, by the work of his Spirit. And so in a sense, it's like, Father, give us more of the Spirit, yes, but okay, more of the Spirit who personalizes and individualizes and custom fits the blessings of God into our lives for what we need through Jesus. That I can always, how much more the Father. So in the first place, it's a desire on our part, a friend, but in the second place, you could almost turn that around and go, it's the Father's desire. How much more? Because it's the Father's desire to his children. to, in the proper sense, not like some TV pastors, evangelist stuff, not like that, but in a proper sense, it is the Father's desire to bless the lives of his children, in a proper sense. So here, Jesus talks about how to pray. Not just what, but now how. How we can pray to a friend, but pray with the desire. Is there something that our heart desires, deeply desires, as a need? And we can pray to a father. He's a friend, and he's a father. Because his desires toward me. So when the Bible says, when God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, he's not just saying words. He's saying the expression of his desire to you is with an everlasting love. It's his desire. But we can pray according to that. That in the very practical things we pray for, realize our Father's desire is behind this. And even though it takes, might have to pray it again, might have to pray it again, might have to pray it again. It's okay. We have permission to pray for those things that are deeply on our hearts over and over again if we need to. We have permission. We can rejoice with that permission because it's what Jesus said. Let's pray. Thank you so much, Lord, for your word. Help us. Help me. Help us to enter into more of this, that our hearts just would freely speak with you about all things anytime. And Lord, that your, help us to realize your desire to us, to work in our hearts, to work in our lives by your Spirit for our good. Thank you, Lord. And I just, Lord, if there's anybody here that needs help in this, then help them. Maybe encourage their hearts through your word and all of this, through things that may be going on and have gone on for a long time. May our hearts be encouraged that we will not give up, Lord. Because all the time we're praying and asking and beseeching you without even our knowing it, you're keeping us close to yourself. Thank you. Lord, for your blessings, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.